Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, September 20th. This is Missions Monday and we look forward to praying alongside Living Hope International when we get to the prayer time. We pick up in the book of Hebrews. I don't know about you guys, but I have been loving the book of Hebrews, the reminders that Jesus is better. And so today we are reminded that Jesus is the great high priest. In fact, the beginning statement says, I'm going to tell you the main point. And so we read together Hebrews chapter 8. Now the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of heaven, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by mere human beings. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at the sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he was mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like a covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. And now let's turn over to the book of Psalms. Today we are in Psalm 119. All throughout this psalm, we are reminded of the importance of reading God's word and obeying it. Look forward with me to verse 15. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees and I will not neglect your word. Oh Lord, this is our prayer as we enter into reading Psalm 119, verses 1 through 24. You may remember, if you were with us when we read through the Psalms before, that this is an acrostic poem. And so the tab at the beginning of each section says a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So what might be equivalent to our A is Aleph. So today we will read about Aleph, Bet, and Gimel. Let's start with the section that is entitled Aleph. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Bet. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Gimel. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Now let's move forward to the book of Ezekiel. Today we're in Ezekiel 44 verses 1 through 14. And just to give us a heads up on where we are, Lord willing, this time next week, next Monday, we will finish the book of Ezekiel, which is one of the longest books in the Bible. So I just want to congratulate you and say we are on the last mile. Ezekiel 44, verses 1 through 14. Then the man brought me back to the east gateway in the outer wall of the temple area, but it was closed. And the man said to me, "This gate must remain closed. It will never again be opened. No one will ever open it and pass through, for the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered here. Therefore, it must always remain shut. Only the prince himself may sit inside this gateway to feast in the Lord's presence. But he may come and go only through the entry room of the gateway." Then the man brought me through the north gateway to the front of the temple. I looked and saw that the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord, and I fell face down on the ground. And the Lord said to me, "Son of man, take careful notice. Use your eyes and ears and listen to everything I tell you about the regulations concerning the Lord's temple. Take careful note of the procedures for using the temple's entrances and exits, and give these rebels, the people of Israel, this message from the sovereign Lord. O people of Israel, enough of your detestable sins. You have brought uncircumcised foreigners into my sanctuary, people who have no heart for God. In this way, you defiled my temple, even as you offered me my food, the fat, and blood of sacrifices. In addition to all your other detestable sins, you have broken my covenant. Instead of safeguarding my sacred rituals, you have hired foreigners to take charge of my sanctuary. So this is what the sovereign Lord says: No foreigners, including those who live among the people of Israel, will enter my sanctuary if they have not been circumcised and have not surrendered themselves to the Lord. And the men of the tribe of Levi who abandoned me when Israel strayed away from me to worship idols must bear the consequences of their unfaithfulness. They may still be temple guards and gatekeepers, and they may slaughter the animals brought for burnt offerings and be present to help the people. But they encouraged my people to worship idols, causing Israel to fall into deep sin. So I have taken a solemn oath that they must bear the consequences for their sins, says the Sovereign Lord. They may not approach me to minister as priests. They may not touch any of my holy things or the holy offerings, for they must bear the shame of all the detestable sins they have committed. They are to serve as the temple caretakers, taking charge of the maintenance work and performing general duties. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Quickly, before we get to Missions Monday, I just want to comment on these passages. It's pretty clear here that the Sovereign Lord wants those who enter His temple to be pure, and He calls them circumcised, those who have been circumcised and have surrendered themselves to the Lord. And we know that in Romans, Paul deals with this because when the Gentiles are incorporated into the Jewish faith, this new thing that is happening that we call Christianity, a lot of the struggle that Jews have is these Gentiles aren't circumcised. They were probably thinking back to Ezekiel, where Ezekiel says, no one who is uncircumcised can enter the temple. But Paul explains that Jesus Christ is taking this and raising the level of faithfulness that is not just a bodily example of our faithfulness, but it is a heart set forward to do God's will. Listen to Romans 2, 28 and 29 in the New Living Translation. For you are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. I was in a Bible study this past week where I was reminded by one of the women who was leading out on our Project 119 studies that heart is mentioned again and again throughout the Bible. God wants us to come to Him with a pure heart. Now let's move forward to Missions Monday. Today our mission partner is Living Hope. Living Hope is a Christian nonprofit in South Africa whose vision is to reach people for Christ, bring hope, and break the despair of poverty and disease. If you have a chance today, go on Living Hope's website. You can get there by entering into the search engine Living Hope South Africa, and they have a video gallery. And there is a video called The Lord is My Hope. You can also search for this video on YouTube by putting in Living Hope and then The Lord is My Hope. This is about one of the chaplains for Living Hope who went into a maternity ward at a hospital to be with a woman who had named her child No Hope. And then Living Hope comes around her to give her a home and to give her the gospel, which became a message of community to her. And then she renames her child in accordance with what she understands to be true about the nature of the church and the nature of the Lord. And so I don't want to spoil it for you, but if you have a chance, go out there and find out a little bit more through story form about the work of Living Hope. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray for living hope in South Africa. We pray for food security, job security, safety, and family stability for those to whom living hope is a light and a beacon. We pray for parents as they give love and care to their children. We pray for depression among the children and teens as they experience the socioeconomic impact of COVID and all that is going on in their country. We pray for the missionaries who are there, and we pray for John Thomas and his wife and all those who are instrumental in helping others see the hope of the gospel. Be with our brothers and sisters even now, we pray, and help us to see that as we give of our resources, we are able to help them as they minister. We love you, Lord, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.